We're holding the five lines from the bottom of the page, six lines from the bottom of the page, and daf mem dalet amid beis. The Gemara was discussing the case of someone who sells his eved into chutz la'aretz, where the eved goes free. So the Gemara, Rav Anan, makes a comment. Amar Rav Anan, shamin minei de Mar Shmuel tarti. I've heard two separate halachos in the name of Mar Shmuel, or from Mar Shmuel, chadahach. One is this halacha about selling an eved to chutz la'aretz. V'idach, another one, di itmar hamocher sadehu b'shnas ha'yovel atzma. If a person sells his field prior to Yovel, we know that the halacha is that when the Yovel year comes, the field goes back to its original owner. What if a person sells his field during the Yovel year itself? So Rav Amar Mechura, Rav says the sale is valid, V'yotza, but then immediately the field returns to its original owner. U'Shmuel Amar Eina Mechura Kalikr. And Shmuel holds, no, the sale is totally invalid. So B'chada Hadri Zvini, U'B'chada Lo Hadri Zvini. So says Rav Anan, I know Shmuel paskined both of these halachos, both that when you sell an eved to chutz la'aretz, that he goes free, and that when you sell a field during the Yovel year, the sale is totally invalid. But by one of them he had said that the money has to be returned, and by one of them he did not say that the money has to be returned. V'lo yadana heminayu, and I don't know which case he said that the money has to be returned, and in which case he said the money does not have to be returned. Now Rashi asks the obvious kasha, that it seems clear that in the case where the person sold the field during Yovel, of course Shmuel should say that the money has to be returned. What else? What other difference could there be between Shmuel and Rav? Rav says that the sale is a valid sale, but the field goes back immediately. And Shmuel says the sale is not a valid sale. Of course, the difference must be that Rav holds that it's a valid sale, namely the money stays where it is, and Shmuel says the money is returned. What else could Shmuel mean? In what other way could he be disagreeing with Rav? So Rashi says, no, it could be that there's another nafkamina between Shmuel and Rav. According to Rav, that the sale is a valid sale, we know that you can acquire, you can make a kinyan on nechasim she'en lehem achrayus together with nechasim she'esh lehem achrayus. That one of the ways you can make a kinyan on metaltalin is by doing a kinyan on a field. So if the kinyan on the field was a valid sale, it was a valid form of kinyan, so then you can understand that nechasim she'en lehem achrayus could have effectively been acquired with it. But if you hold like Shmuel, that eina mechura kalikr, the sale is totally invalid, so any metaltalin that you try to acquire together with the field would be an invalid form of kinyan. So it could be that's the nafkamina between Rav and Shmuel, and it could be that Shmuel and Rav both agree that the money would stay where it is, would not have to go back. The Ritva points out another nafkamina would be if the money wasn't paid yet. So if you hold like Shmuel, the money wasn't paid yet, well, there was no sale, so there's no reason he should have to pay the money now. But if you hold like Rav, that it was a valid sale, so then he still should be required to pay the money, even though he knows that the field is not going to stay with him for more than a minute, because the field goes immediately back during Yovel. But either way, Rav Anan isn't sure in which case Shmuel said that the money is returned, in which case he said it's not returned. Amar Rav Yosef Nechzi Anans. Rav Yosef says, well, let's take a look and see if there's any indication in a Braisa that tells us which way Shmuel held. So Miditani Bebraisa Amoch Rav Del Chutz Laretz Yatzal Lecheres V'Tzarech Ketshichur Merabu Sheini, from the fact that the Braisa says that when you sell your eved into Chutz Laretz, he goes free and he needs to get Shichur from his new master, from the second master who just acquired him, Shmamina Kanya Rabu Sheini V'lo Hadrizvini. It must be that the money does not go back because we see that the second master has totally acquired him. Otherwise, he would not be the one who's the bailim to give the shtar shichur. And therefore, by the case of selling the field during Yovel, when Shmuel says that the sale is invalid, he means it's totally invalid and that the money has to go back to the original guy. It has to go back to the lokeach. V'Rav Anan, and why didn't Rav Anan just make the same diuk from the Braisa and realize that Shmuel in fact held that the money does go back in the case of Yovel, but does not go back in the case of the Eved? V'Rav Anan Braisa lo Shmuel, could be that he didn't have that Braisa, he didn't know that Braisa. V'imi de Shmuel, and in terms of just being medayikit from what Shmuel himself says, by the fact that Shmuel says it was an invalid sale, mimayde ina mechura uma uschozrin. How do you know that it's that what Shmuel means is that it's an invalid sale and the money goes back? Dilma ina mechura umalus matana ninhu. Maybe it's an invalid sale, but the money serves as a malus matana. The money stays where it is because we view that money that the lokeach gave for the field. We view that as a gift that he was giving, knowing that he's not really going to get the field. Where else do we have such a thing that someone gives money, acting as if he's buying something, but he's not really buying anything, and that money is viewed purely as motus matana? Midadava mekadesh asachoso, just like a case of a guy who goes over to his sister and gives her kesef kiddushin. He goes over to his sister with some money and he says harei at mekudesh asli with this money. So the halacha is she's obviously not mekudesh asli. Mar mekadesh asachoso. Rav amar, but what happens to the money? So Rav says motus chozrin, you return the money. But Shmuel amar motus matana. She keeps the money because we assume that he meant to give it as a matana. So there's an exact parallel. Just like in the case of Mekadesh HaSachoso, clearly he didn't mean to be Mekadesh His sister, and he clearly wanted to just give her the mana, the money as a matana. He was just being cute about it by saying, Harei HaMekadesh HaSli. So too over here, when a guy is selling a field during Yovel, he knows that the field's going to go back during Yovel. The sale is not going to work, but he just wants to give the money as a matana. So that would have been a possibility. That was something that certainly could have conceivably been the shita of Shmuel. So that's why we need to be told that no, that Shmuel's shita is that the money goes back and that it's not viewed as ma'os matana in the case of the field. Why, in fact, is the case of Kiddushin different than the case of the field? Why, by the case of Kiddushin, the Shmuel maintain that it is Ma'os Matana, but by the case of the field, it's not Ma'os Matana? We say that the money does have to go back. So Tosus points out, Ulafiha Emes Yesh L'chalik, that in truth, you could distinguish between the case of the field and the case of the sister that the guy is Mekadesh. Dolo Shayach Asum L'meimor Adem Yodea Kavo B'Mekadesh Achoso. The whole idea of Shmuel Shita by Mekadesh Achoso, the whole svara to say that the money is viewed as malos matana is that when a guy is mekadesh his sister, he knows you can't marry a sister. He realizes you can't marry a sister. Everyone knows that, and therefore we say adam yodea that there's no kiddushin by a choso. It must be that he meant the money as malos matana, but maybe it's not as obvious to everybody that you can't buy a field during yovel. Maybe that part's not so obvious. Maybe he thinks he gets to keep it till the next yovel. So since that part is not nearly as obvious, how do I know it's not so obvious? Taharavka amar de mechuru v'yotza, right? Rav disagrees, right, with Shmuel's idea that it's not a sale. Rav holds it is a valid sale. It's just going to return. But since it's not so obvious that it's an invalid sale, unlike kiddushin to achoso, where there's no one that holds kiddushin works by achoso, but by a sale of a field during yovel, Rav holds that it does work. So obviously, it's not so obvious that it doesn't work. So we can't say that the guy obviously knew that this is an invalid sale and that he meant the money as matana. Can't say such a thing. Amle Abay the Rav Yosef, my chazit kansin lokeach nikusin the mocher. So Abay says Rav Yosef, I understand. Why is it that when a guy buys an eved in chutz la'aretz to bring him to chutz la'aretz, the one who buys him is the one that ends up getting punished? He loses all of his money and he has to free the eved. Why don't we make a knas on the guy who sold him? The guy who sold him was selling him into chutz la'aretz. Shouldn't he be the one to lose something? Here he takes the money and he loses nothing. So Amalei lav achbar ganav eluchuru ganav. He says, well, when a mouse takes something, takes a crumb and brings it into his mouse hole, so it's not the achbar that's really the ganav, it's the hole that's the ganav, because if the achbar didn't have anywhere to run, he never would have taken it. So obviously it's the fact that he has somewhere to go to that makes the problem. So too over here, the mocher would never have sold the eved had he not had someone to sell it to. It's only because there's a market for it that he was able to sell the eved. So Amrlei said, yeah, but you could say that the other way also. Ilav achbar churu minalei, right? If it weren't for the achbar, the hole would just be an empty hole. It wouldn't be doing anything wrong either. Meaning, if it weren't for the moch, for people willing to sell an eved to Chutz La'aretz, the guy, the lokeach in Chutz La'aretz, would not be able to buy him into Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says, no, that must not be the reason why the lokeach is the one that's left holding the bag. Mistavra hecha di'ika isura hasam kansinan. Rather, it's just the mistaver that wherever the isser currently is, that's the one that, that's where the knas is going to fall. But really, misvara in terms of what they've done wrong in achinami, it's just as logical to make a knas on the mocher as it is the lokeach in terms of what they've done wrong. It's just that right now we look at where the yisur is, and that's where the knas falls. It's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Avadim writes that in Perek Ches Halacha Vav, I think, writes that he writes that if you sell an eved to Chutz La'aretz, obviously he writes the halacha that the eved goes free, the second master has to free him, but he keeps the money. Yeah, he has to, the second master has to free him, and he keeps the money, he loses his money that he paid for the eved, and the Rambam says, and the reason that he has to free him, and the reason the lokeach loses, is because it's impossible for the mocher to have sold him had it not been for the lokeach's participation. So the Rambam clearly holds, like, the reason the Gemara rejected, rather than the reason the Gemara says at the end, which is a little bit difficult. The Achronim work on it. The Radvaz says that maybe the second reason is really only a clarification of the first reason, but it's not really a new reason. You have to work out how that could be true. Others come up with different chidushim, but it's a difficult fit in the Gemara. Says Gemara Vayter, who after dark me chutz la'aretz la'aretz. There was an eved that ran away from chutz la'aretz teretz Yisrael. Azl Maria Basrei, so his master chased after him. Azl Kamed Rabbi Ami, so they came in front of Rabbi Ami Paskin Nichtov L'chashtara Adame. Let him write a star that he owes you his value. Let the Eved write a star that he owes you his value. Uksov Le'gita D'Cherusa, and you set him free now, and he'll pay you back for his value. And if you don't do that, V'lo Mafakna Le'minach. And if you don't do that, I'm going to take him away from you. You're not going to keep this Eved. You think you can take this Eved that's currently in Eretz, bring him to Chutz La'aretz? You can't. So the Rishonim deal with the question, does he have to take the Eved away? Why doesn't he say, and if you don't do this, I'm going to force you to sell the Eved in Eretz Yisrael, or I'll force you to live in Eretz Yisrael with the Eved? Why does it have to be that I'll force you to lose the Eved? There are no other options. If the guy wants to make Aliyah now and he wants to live in Eretz Yisrael, he can't do that? So the Ran says, no, of course he can, but we're just saying that if you refuse to do that, then I'm going to have to take the Eved away from you. Meaning it's Lav Dafka that he has to take the Eved. It's if you want to be Meshabed him outside of Eretz Yisrael, so then I'm going to have to take him away from you. However, the Rush in Siman Mem Gimel over here writes that if he wants to be Meshtabed him in Eretz Yisrael, he's not even allowed to do that, because we're afraid that it's just a trick. We're afraid that he really has plans on going back to Chutz La'aretz. He knows if he says he has plans on going back to Chutz La'aretz, he's going to lose the Eved. So what's he going to say? Nah, it's okay, I'll make Aliyah, I'll live in Eretz Yisrael. And day after day, he'll bother the Eved and he'll say, come on, don't you want to come back to Chutz La'aretz? Don't you want to come back? Until finally he convinces the Eved to go back to Chutz La'aretz, and then you have the same problem that here he is, bringing an Eved from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. So he really needs to do something else. Either get rid of this Eved, sell the Eved to someone who actually lives in Eretz Yisrael, to avoid any such harama. Says Gemara mid Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshia, we derive this from Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshia, Ditanya, lo yeshu ba'artzcha penyachtiu oschali, that you can't allow them to dwell in your land, maybe they'll cause you to sin, meaning it's talking about the Zayin Amim, the seven nations that resided in Eretz Canaan before our arrival. I might think this even includes a guy who has accepted upon himself not to do Avodah Zarah. Tamalomar v'lo saskir Eved el Adonav. That's why the pasuk has to say, do not deliver an Eved, which we understand to be a guy over here, el Adonav, which we understand to mean back to his Avodah Zarah, asher yinotze lelecha mi'im Adonav, where he's been saved from the Avodah Zarah. So, maita kanto, so what do you do? Amcha yeshiv bikirbecha, imcha yeshiv bikirbecha, he can dwell amongst you. The kashle, the Rabbi Yoshe said, is that really what the pasuk is talking about? We're talking about a person who has accepted upon himself not to do Avodah Zarah, and that we're not supposed to throw him out. Hay me'im Adonav, if we're talking about Avodah Zarah, why does he use the phrase me'im Adonav? If you notice the margin, Masoras Shas changes the next phrase, Me'im Elohav Mibayilei. It should say from his gods, right? The gears that we have Me'im Aviv is a little bit difficult to understand, right? It's a much more sharper distinction to say, instead of Me'im Adonav, if it really meant to talk about Avod Zara, should have said Me'im Elohav, from his gods. Elam Rabbi Yoshi says that's not the Pshat and Pasuk. B'mochar avdu l'chutz l'aretz ha'kazim medabar. The Pasuk is talking about when you sell an eved chutz l'aretz. V'kash le Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshi ha'ay asher yinotzal alecha asher yinotzal me'imcha mibaylei. And Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshi had a problem. Why does it say asher yinotzal alecha? It should say asher yinotzal me'imcha. Ela am Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshi be'eved shabarach mi'chutz l'aretz l'aretz ha'kazim medabar. Must be that we're talking about an eved who ran away from chutz l'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, and now you chase after him and you want him back. So what happens now? So that's the case. That's the exact case that we had before, and that's where we say, well, you can't bring him back to Chutz Laretz. You have to let him go and live in Eretz Yisrael, whether it be by selling him to someone or by the advice that came up in our case of writing a shtar shichra and having him write a shtar that he owes whatever his value is. Tanya Idach, we have another brayso. Lo sasker eved el adonav. That pshat and pasuk is Rabbi Yomer belokeach eved al menas lo shachra kas medaber. That we're talking about someone who buys an eved with the condition that he's going to free him. So hechidami, what's the case? Amram Nachum Yisrael the kas of lehachi. The guy writes in the shtar lechasha echacha hare atzmacha kani lach me'achshav. When I buy you, you should be acquired to yourself from now. Meaning, retroactively, when I buy you, you should go free starting retroactively from now. So says Rashi, and therefore, as soon as he buys him, he's meshukher l'mafreya. And this is one of the rayas that Rebbe holds like Rabbi Meir, that a person can be makna davar shlo b'aliyolam, because the eved at the time that he's being meshukher him is not yet his. So it's still lo b'aliyolam. Rav Chista, another story, Rav Chista arik le'avda l'beikutai, Rav Chista had an eved that ran away to Beikutai, Shalach Lahu, so Hadrua Neli. So he sent to the Beikutai, send my Eved back, I want him returned. Shalach Lahu, they sent back to him, Lo Saskir Eved Aladonav. So what do you mean? Pasuk says, Lo Saskir Eved Aladonav, that you're not supposed to return an Eved to its master. Skip the parentheses, Shalach Lahu, so he sent back. Hahuba Eved Shabarach Michutz La'aretz La'aretz. That's not talking about a Stam, an Eved that runs away, you're not supposed to return him to his master. That's talking about an Eved that ran away from Chutz La'aretz La'aretz Yisrael, you're not supposed to return him. Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshia, like we learn from Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshia. Umayshna de Shalach Lukad Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshia. Why did he say that the Pshat was like Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshia? Why didn't he say Pshat in the Pasuk is like Rebbe said Pshat was in the Pasuk? Why does he have to Bedavka say that it's going like Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshia? Mishum Dimashma Luhu Krai. So because he had to give them a Pshat in the Pasuk that fit the Pesukim much better. And because the Kutim in general only believed Torah Shebichsav, they didn't buy into Drashos Chazal. So since Rebbe's Drash was a little more of the pasuk, was a little more distant from the Pshuto Shel Mikra, so he knew he would get nowhere quoting Rebbe's Pshat in the pasuk. But quoting Rabbi Achib Rabbi Yoshi's Pshat in the pasuk, he thought that's closer to Pshuto Shel Mikra, so he thought maybe he'll get somewhere with that. Abaye irkas lechamra beikutai. Abaye lost a chamor by Beikutai once. Shalach lu shadruli. So he sent them a message, I want my chamor back. Shalchulei, so they sent the message back, Shalach Simana, give us a simon that it's yours and you'll get it back. Shalach Lahu, dechivata kresei. So he sent them that, my simon is that his stomach is white. So Shalchulei, ilav de nachmeni at love mishadarnele. So they sent back mishadarnele alach. They sent the message back to him, you know, if it weren't that you're you, if it weren't that you were who you are, and such an honest person, and a person of such integrity, and a person of such a tzaddik, there's no way we would send this animal back to you on the basis of the simon you gave. Why, you don't think half the donkeys in the world have this exact simen that there's white on their stomach? That's a horrible simen. But because we know you're a very honest and trustworthy person, so we're going to give it back to you. Meaning, even though we hold that that you would need a simen mufak in order to get the animal back, technically we trust you. The Tiferes Yaakov of the Mishnayos writes, asks, why weren't they choshish that maybe another person also lost a donkey? Meaning, in a chinami, they believe Abaye, he lost a donkey, and the donkey looked like this. But every donkey looks like this. So someone else might have lost it also. So Tiferes Yaakov explains that they know Abaye Vaday lost a donkey. And they know that whether someone else lost a donkey is a suffik. Ein suffik motzi mide Vaday is a svara. And not the kutim hold of svara, meaning they hold of Torah Shebichsav and not Torah Shebal Peh, but it's only those drushes in Torah Shebal Peh that are counterintuitive, that aren't intuitive in their own. Probably Kal V'chomer they would hold, because that's a svara. Anything that makes sense, that's logical, they would hold. So, meaning Gzera Shava, they wouldn't hold, because there's no svara for Gzera Shava. But anything that's logical, he writes, they would probably hold of. Says the Mishnah, Ein Podin Asu Shvuin Yesra Al-Kadei Demayen Mipnei Tikkun Olam. You're not supposed to spend more than the value of the captive to redeem him from captivity because of Tikkun Olam. The Gemara will explain exactly what the Tikkun Olam is. You shouldn't help a captive run away because of Tikkun Olam. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, it's not a broader Tikkun Olam issue when you're helping a captive run away. Rather, it's an issue of Takanas HaShvuyin, meaning if there are 10 captives in a place and you're helping 5 of them run away, what do you think the captors are going to do to the other 5 afterwards? They're going to abuse them. They're going to make life much more difficult. So it's not a Tikkun HaOlam in the broader sense. It's Takanas HaShvuyin specifically for those Shvuyin who are left behind. So Yibayilu, Haim Mnei Tikkun HaOlam Mishum Duchka Ditziburahu Adum Mishum Dula Ligruvu V'lai Sitfei. What's the pshat in this Tikkun HaOlam? Is it because we don't want to spend more money than he's worth because it's going to be too much of an expense on the Tzibur? Or is it because we're afraid that it's going to encourage more kidnappings? Which is the primary concern? Now, each of these concerns is what to say about the Chassam Sofer in his Tshuvas and Choshen Mishpatim Kufay and Zayin says, wait a second, if you hold that that when it comes to spending money on mitzvahs, so we know the halacha is you're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your money on a given mitzvah. But on a lo saseh, you're supposed to be mevazeh kolon beis, so you're supposed to give up all your money in order to avoid violating a mitzvah lo saseh. So frek the chassam sofer, when a person refuses to do pidyon shvuyim, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim Perches Halacha Yud that a person who's ma'alim ayin mi pidyon shvuyim, who doesn't do pidyon shvuyim when he has an opportunity to, has violated lo sa'ametzas levavcha, lo sa'amar adam reyacha, lo your denu b'farech, right? It violated 3 lo saseis. Shouldn't you have to spend all your money to avoid violating lo saseh? How could cost be a factor when it comes to pidyon shvuyim? It's lo saseis we're dealing with. So Chassam Sofer says, when we say that you have to spend all your money to avoid violating lo saseh, that's an individual. But at tzibur, we never say should have to spend all their money even to avoid violating lo saseh. Because the tzibur's money becomes pikuach nefesh already. When the tzibur is spending all the communal money, that's already an issue of pikuach nefesh, and that you don't do. Especially in situations where yad avodas kachavim tekifa aleinu, where we're not in the best of situations in terms of our galus, so then it's certainly bechlal pikuach nefesh, Chassam Sofer says. So again, so that was only one possibility, that it's because of the expense on the tzibur. Second possibility is because we're afraid it's going to encourage kidnappings. If you look at Tosos says lo lugru vaisi vad dani bergnara nishus vayim vakshin men adasar bidamel pam rishon poda. If your wife, God forbid, gets captured, you're supposed to spend 10 times her value to get her out. Isn't that against this Mishnah? So it says mera shiny ishta davi kugufo yosem ibito dahach va al atzma lo tiknu shlo yitin kolasha lo bad nafsho. That to let yourself free, you're allowed to spend as much as you want. You don't have to say, no, I'm not allowed to spend more than I'm worth to let myself free. To let yourself free, you can spend as much as you want. Your wife is ishtoku gufo. She's yourself. So you can spend as much as you want to let your wife free. Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, the Parke Leutinok Tosa says, but there's a story in the Gemara later on where Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya spent mamon harbi, spent a lot of money to redeem a particular young child. So says Tosas, that was also an exception. Because he was an unusually bright child, and he knew that he was going to be something special. So if he's something special, you're allowed to go and you're allowed to redeem him. So that, based on that Tosos, the Yamshel Shlomo asks, I don't understand. We know the Maram Rutenberg was held captive. He was taken captive. And the community, the Maram Rutenberg, was the Rebbe of the Rush. And he was a Gadol Adar. And people, the community, stepped up to the plate. They wanted to redeem him, and they wanted to offer a huge sum of money. And he instructed them, no, you may not do that. Do not offer you some money. I don't want you freeing me for that sum of money. Frak the Yamshel Shlomo, he wasn't as good as Hahu Tinok. Right, this Tinok that was Muflag B'Chachma, that had such potential. Remberg had met the potential. He was already the Gadol Adar. He was a Muflag B'Chachma. How could he hold that he wasn't? They weren't allowed to free him from captivity? So says Yamshel Shlomo, you'll tell me it's his anivus. He didn't hold himself to be a Muflag B'Chachma. But he says, come on, doesn't he realize that the Bittul Torah that he's causing because of his anivus? I mean, he's sitting there in jail, not able to teach, not able to learn. Right? He wrote a Kinos about himself where he says that he's sitting B'Chosh with Salmavas, Beli Torah Va'ora. He's sitting without anything. How could he allow that to happen when the halacha is that they should be able to free him? So Yamshel Shlomo says it must be the Meram Rutenberg realized that if they pay a large sum of money for him, the captors are going to realize that it's a good business to capture big Talmidei Chachamim, and then they're going to target big Talmidei Chachamim, and then Torah is going to be nishtachach miYisrael. Then there's going to be no one left to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael because they're not going to always be able to come up with the money. So he figured better I'd be the one that sits and rots away rather than so many other Talmidei Chachamim sitting and running away. But anyway, back to the Gemara. So the Gemara had the Shiloh. What's the reason why you're not allowed to spend extra on Pidyon Shvuyim? Is it a consideration of Duchat the Tzibur, that it's too much for the Tzibur to spend? Or is it because we're afraid they're going to capture more people? Tashma, Levi Bar Darga Parka Labarte, Bethleis Ralfi Dinri Zav. He spent on his own daughter 13,000 dinarim of Zav, which is obviously a lot more than her worth. Amar Abai Man Leimlan. So you see from there that it's an issue of Duchka de Tzibura, because he was spending from his own personal money, so it was fine. But if it were an issue that you're afraid they're going to kidnap more, then you wouldn't permit him to spend from his own personal money. Amar Abaye, man leim lan debrotzon chama, v'dilma shelo brotzon chama. But Abaye says, that's not a raya. How do you know the Chacham approved of that? Maybe he did it without the approval of the Chacham, he just wanted his daughter back. So we had 2 days in the Mishnah why you can't help a captive run away. Is it because of Tikkun HaOlam, what's going to happen to future people who are held captive? Or is it because of the actual Shvuyim who are left behind? My Benayu, what's the nafkamina between the two cases? Either way, you can't help a guy run away. If he's the one only being held captive in that situation, so then, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it should be okay. Because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you only have to worry about who's left behind in that place. So then there will be nothing to worry about because he's the last one. But if you say that it's a general Tikkun HaOlam issue, that other captors are going to mistreat their captives, then you have a problem. Bin Seid Rav Nachman, Bachshan Kidra Biadayu. Rav Nachman's daughter would stir a pot of boiling water with her bare hands. His daughters would stir pots with their bare hands. In fact, Steichem brings this as a raya from the Darkei Hora'a that Basar Chai is not maflit, meaning why is the food kosher? Isn't human flesh treif? So if they were stirring the pot and it's boiling with the bare hands, so isn't the tam, if you take a piece of chazer and stick it in there, it would treif up the whole pot. So you stick your hand in there, doesn't the tam of your own flesh treif up the whole pot? So he says, you see, basar chai, live meat, isn't maflet. Interesting. So kashalei the Rav Ilish, so Rav Ilish was bothered by this whole story, though. He says, ksiv adam echem me'elf matzasi, v'isha b'kalei lo matzasi. 1 out of 1,000 men I find that are good tzaddikim, but that are great tzaddikim, but not a single woman. So he says, how could a woman do this? There, you never find a woman like this. So the Achronim asks, the Rashash asks, what do you mean? The story of Maseches Ksubos and Daf Samach Zayin Beis of Mar Ukva's wife, when they had to run away from someone who they had given tzedakah to, and they didn't want the person they gave tzedakah to find them and know that they had given tzedakah. They ended up running into a furnace that had coals, that was lined with coals on the bottom, and Marukva's wife's feet weren't burning. And she said, quick, put your feet on top of mine, because my feet aren't burning. And Marukva's feet were burning. So don't you see, the woman was a tzedakah, she had miracles done for her. So why was he so misspell from this? Apparently it did happen. So it could be there's a chilek that over here there was stam, they could have used a spoon to stir the pot, but they were using their hands. There was no need for this nais. By Marukva, at least there was a need for the nais. They would have, you know, their feet would have burnt off. So says Gemara, Hika binti Rav Nachman. So he was wondering, I don't understand, Rav Nachman's daughter seemed to be such great tzidkanios. So Garmalu Milsa Vishtavi and Vishtavai Iunami Badayu. As it turned out, the daughters of Rav Nachman ended up being captured, and he too was captured. Not Rav Nachman, but who was it that was Ravi Elish was also captured. Yomachar Rabbi Yosef Gabeya who gavra Davi Yadu Blishin Tzipuri. There was one day Ravi Elish was sitting there in jail, and there was another guy in jail with him who happened to speak bird language. He understood how birds spoke. Asur Vavakarile. So a raven came and started talking. Amarle Maika Amar. So Ravi Elish says to this fellow that's together in captivity with him, what's the raven saying? Amarle Elish Barach, Elish Barach. He's saying, Elish, run away, run away. So Amar Urva Shikrahu, he says, ravens lie all the time. Velosa Michna Alein, he wouldn't rely on it. Adahach Yasi Yonah V'Kakarya. But then a Yonah came, a dove came and started talking. Amar Lei Makamra, so he says to his cellmate, what's the dove saying? Amar Lei Elish Barach, Elish Barach. He's saying, Elish, run away. Amar Knesset Yisrael Kiyonah Matili, he says, Yonah, Knesset Yisrael is compared to a Yonah. Shema Minah Mitzrachash Linisa. So this is a meaningful message. Maybe a nace is going to happen. Amar Ezel Achsi Bintet Rav Nachman, he came and be Munasayu Adrinu. He says, maybe I'll help the daughters of Rav Nachman and help come out with me. Let me just go see first if they're still from, right? If they still live up to the ideals that they used to. So Amar Nashi called Mili Dislu Sidron Laadadi Besakise. He says, how am I going to know if they're still? If I can't just ask them, of course they're going to tell me. So you know what? I'll stand outside the ladies' room and I'll listen to what they're saying, because women talk about everything. Every secret in the world gets revealed in the ladies' room. So Shaminu de Ka'amrun, Adi Guvran and Adai Guvran, Lemeluhu Lishwiyahu Dilar Chakinume Hakalalaisu Inchin Lishwiyahu Vilifraknin, Vilifarkinan. So he overheard them saying in the ladies' room, you know, these are our husbands now. We used to have those Jewish husbands. We should tell our current husbands to take us somewhere far away so that our old husbands would never find us. So come Arak Asa Yuvahu Gavra. So he ran away, did not help them out because he realized that they had abandoned their ways. So he ran away successfully. His cellmate, who spoke bird language, was unsuccessful in his running away. He had in his escape, and he was killed. Kihadron va'asan. And when the daughters of Nachman got out at some later date, Amar havu kabachshon kidra b'kshafim. He says you should know when they were stirring those pots, that was kishuf. That wasn't because of some zechus, because they were tzidkanios. They were in fact not tzidkanios. The Gilyan Ashas over here quotes that the Aruch says that you have a raya from this sugya that Rav Elish knew bird language. So the Gilyan Ashas quotes that in Seder Adoros it says, what are you talking about? From this sugya it's mashma that they didn't know, that he didn't know bird language. He had to rely on his cellmate to tell him what the bird was talking about. So what in the world is Yaruch talking about? That from this sugya we see that Rav Elish knew bird language. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Musar says that no, clearly he knew bird language, because if he didn't, how could he rely on a guy in a pikuach nefesh case? Here he has a pikuach nefesh whether he should run away, and some guyish cellmate tells him what the bird says, and he has ne'amanos. He's going to rely on the guy. He obviously understood it himself. If he understood it himself, why did he ask the other guy? Because he knew that he's no gaya b'davar, and there people hear what they want to hear sometimes. So since he knows he wanted to run away, he wanted out, and he heard the bird say, run Elish, run. He thought, maybe I'm misinterpreting the bird language to my own advantage. Let me see if this other fellow heard the same thing that I heard. So the other fellow said, yes, in fact, I heard that it said run away. So that gave him the confidence, not that the other guy had ne'amanus, he was really believing himself, but it gave him the confidence to know that he wasn't being biased in his judgment. Chaim Shalom says, you see just how biased a person can be when you're nogea b'davar, that in general, that's the klal. When a person's nogea b'davar, they hear what they want to hear. They don't necessarily hear what they're being told. They hear what they want to hear. Okay, says the Mishnah, you're not supposed to overpay for tefillin, svarim, and mezuzahs for stam from a guy more than they're worth, mipnei tikkun olam, also because of a tikkun olam issue. Again, you don't want them to take too much. You don't want them involved in this business. You don't want them to steal people's tefillin, sifrei Torah, to sell them on the black market. That implies that you only can't spend more than they're worth, but you're allowed to spend as much as they're worth. We see from here that you're allowed to read from a sefer Torah that you find by a guy. And Rashi says, and you're not choshesh that maybe he wrote the sefer Torah, the shame of Avodah Zarah. Right? And we're going to see that it's a machlokas whether you have to be choshesh for that. But you see from here that it sounds that we're not choshesh that he wrote the sefer Torah, the shame of Avodah Zarah, just because he has the Sefer Torah. So it says, no, Dilma Lignos, maybe when you're buying the Sefer Torah, you're not buying it to use it, you're buying the Sefer Torah to put it in Geniza. You just need to get away from him. Amrav Nachman, an Akhtina Sefer Torah shekas from Min Yisarev. We pass if a Min writes a Sefer Torah, you burn the Sefer Torah. What is a Min? A Min is someone, Rashi says, Ha'aduk ba'avodas kochavim. Someone who's attached to Avodah Zarah. Interestingly, Shar Mitzvah Ba'alacha quotes from Svarim. I mean, he doesn't say which Svarim, but he says that Min is really Rashi Tevos, Ma'amine Yeshu Notzri. Christians. It's really, it's a Rashi Tevis for Christians, but they had to come up with the word min as opposed to spelling it out, and the Rishonim all had to translate it in other ways because of the censors. But really, it means Christians. Interesting. Kasu Ovid Kochavim Yignaz. If it was written by an Ovid Kochavim, then you put it in Geniza. Nimtza Bein Biyad Min Yignaz. If you find it in the hand of Min, you don't know that he wrote it, but you find that he's holding on to it, you put it in Geniza. Nimtza Biyad Ovid Kochavim Amri La Yignaz Ram La Kar. But you find it by any other guy. So some say Yignaz, and some say you can read from it, right? Some say you put it in Geniza, and others say you could read from it. Why are you allowed to read from it? So Rashi says it's Svek Sveka. Maybe really a Jew wrote it. And even if he wrote it himself, maybe he wrote it al-manas to sell it to a Jew, and it wasn't l'shem avodah zarah that he wrote it. He wrote it with the intention to sell it to a Jew. You have to deal with how this Svek Sveka is a Svek Sveka mishapich. The Shach writes in Yordaya Kuf Yud that every Svek Sveka has to be able to be reversible. Right? You have to be able to say it in the reverse as well. Over here, does that work? Then maybe he wrote it shelo l'shem avodah kochavim. And even if he wrote it l'shem avodah kochavim, maybe a Jew wrote it? That doesn't make any sense. Right? That doesn't work. So it only works in one direction. So you have to work on this Svek Svek a little bit to figure out how it could be a Svek Svek HaMashapich. Tosov here doesn't think it's a Svek Svek at all. He says, forget the Svek Svek. The reason why you're allowed to be a Koren Bo is because it's really a rove. How many Gayim are writing Sefer Torah? Chances are it was written by a Jew. 99% chance it was written by a Jew. Sefer Torah shekasu ovid kochavim tani chadi yisari v'tani idach higane. Sefer Torah is written by a guy. One sheet that says to burn it, the other one says to put it in Geniza v'tani idach korban. The third sheet that says you can read from it. So what do we do with, how do we have three sheets about this? Is it one huge stira? So lo kasha. Had the tani yisari for blazri idam or stam makshav zav kochavim lavad kochavim. The one that says burn it goes like Reb Lazar, who says that the stam makshav of a guy is l'shem of a zara. Vad the tani yignas hay tanahu. The one that says you put it in Geniza is the following time. The Tani Rav Hamnuna Bered, the Rav Mi Pashrunya Sefer Torah Tefillin, Shekasvan Ummasur Oved Kochavim Shekasvan Min Ummasur Oved Kochavim Ve'Eved Isha Ve'Katan Ve'Kuti Ve'Yisrael Mumar. Any of these people write a Sefer Torah. Psulin, their apostles, Shnemar Kshartem Ksavtem Kol Sheyeshno B'Kshira Yeshno B'Ksiva. Anyone who has the mitzvah of Kshira, of putting Tefillin on, is able to write Tefillin. Ve'Kol She'Eino B'Kshira Eino B'Ksiva. And anyone who doesn't put tefillin on is not able to write tefillin. So that explains the second shita, right? That explains the shita of Yignaz, because he's not able to write it. Vaditanya Karimon, the shita says you're allowed to read from it. Hai Tanu, assumes like the following Tana. Titanya look and svarim in Ovdi Chavim Bekal Makom, Vachi Ukosvin Kil Chasan. You're allowed to buy svarim from Ovdi Chavim wherever you are, as long as it's written properly. And the story happened that an Ovid Chavim was writing Sfarim, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says you're allowed to buy from him. Rav Shimon Gamliel, evil the Shman by Ksiva the Shman lo by. Really? He says you're allowed to buy from him? Is Rav Shimon Gamliel the one that holds that you need even to tan the hides that you're writing the Sefer Torah on, the cloth you're writing the Sefer Torah on, Lishma, and you're going to tell me Ksiva Lishma is not necessary? You could have a guy write it. You don't need Ksiva Lishma. How do I know he holds that Ibul Lishma Bai? The time you tzipan zav or shalta alein or behemat mea psulos. If you take tefillin and you cover it with gold or or behemat mea, it's going to be pasul. Or behemat tahora ksheros. But if you put kosher animals hide on it, it's kosher. V'af bishlol ibdal nishman. Even though you didn't tan it lishma. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Afilu or behemat tahora psulos actually abdal lishma. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no. You need to do the tanning lishma. So here you see, he holds you allowed to do tanning lishma. You're not allowed to do so. Ksiv l'shma you don't need. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel beger shechazar l'sura. No, we're talking about a ger who went back to his to his gayish ways, but really he's a Jew. So frankly, Gemara l'sura kol shkein davile min. So then he's a min. Then it's even worse, right? Then he went back to his old ways. Amravashi shechazar l'sura mishum yira. No, he went back to his old ways because they were threatening his life. It was because of yira, wasn't because he really believed it. So he's not really a min. Tan rabbanan malin b'dmei nakadei trapik. You have to overpay only up until, you're allowed to overpay only until a tropic over its original value, but not more than that. My tropic, what is a tropic? Amrav Sheshes, istira. It's an istira. Okay. Hahitaya da Aisi Chaisa de Tfili Lekami da Abaye. A guy brought a bag of tefillin in front of Abaye, a guy. Amrullah, you have to lay resh resh bitmari. So Abaye said to her, a woman rather, so Abaye said to her, I'll give you, give me each tefillin, I'll give you a date for it. I'll give you, you know, a fruit. Meaning he was trying to show, to tell her she's not going to get much money from it, because she had no idea what the real value was. She thought she was stealing something valuable. Obviously, it really was valuable. He was trying to trick her. So Imalia Ziera, she got very angry. Shakla Shadidsinu Benara. So she threw it in the river. Amar lo Ibayli Zuzuli Ba'apukuli Hai. He said, you know, I probably shouldn't have downgraded it so much by saying I would only give her a date, because I, you know, now with the tefillin are all gone, she threw them in the river. There's a lot to discuss here, Mishnah. Tomorrow we'll start with the Tosfos called Yeshna Mekshira, Yeshna Mekshiva, a lot of very important stuff over there.